Everybody had a great day on this election day. The topic of the Mishnah, the fifth Mishnah in the second Perek, deals with an exemption from Kriyat Shema. You could say, how could somebody ever be exempt from Kriyat Shema? Mishinantan levanecha v'dibartabam b'shiftecha v'veisecha v'lechecha v'derecha v'shach v'cha v'kumecha. You go to sleep every night, you get up every morning. How could you possibly have an exemption? So the Pasuk says, b'shiftecha v'veisecha. And the Gemara understands, b'shivtecha b'veisecha, that means that when you're sitting at home, but let's say you're involved in a mitzvah, we do have a general principle that somebody who's involved in a mitzvah can be exempted from another mitzvah. So let's say you're involved in a very important mitzvah, you could theoretically be exempt from Kriyat Shema. That's not so obvious, because you'd say Kriyat Shema, that's more important. That's to reestablish your basic commitment to the sovereignty of heaven, what we call again Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, and yet, that being said, Osek b'mitzvah patur min mitzvah. The explanation for that might be is that what better way to demonstrate your Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, that you're involved in a mitzvah, so clearly it's understood that you're accepting the sovereignty of heaven. You don't need to testify. Your actions, in some sense, speak louder than the words of Kriyat Shema. So that's b'shivtecha v'esecha. The Pasuk says, uvelechtecha v'aderech, which the Gemara understands to mean when you're walking along your path. In other words, that you're not involved in a mitzvah. But if you're involved in a mitzvah, and here it's a little bit different than what we said before, of osek b'mitzvah, patur min mitzvah, this is what the Gemara calls tirda de mitzvah, that you may not be actively involved, and that's the case we're going to have in the Mishnah, but your mind is on another mitzvah. So if your mind is really, really, really focused on another mitzvah, so then you can be exempted from Kriyat Shema. So what's a really good example? Somebody's just gotten married, and they're very focused on the mitzvah of Piri Viriviya, of trying to start a family. Another possibility that Bartanura brings up is that they're afraid things might not go smoothly, and they're very, very concerned about that. They might become injured in the process, something called the Krus Shavcha. So the standard approach is the first approach to say is that they're very concerned about starting a family, so they would have a multi-night exemption. The Mishnah says up to and including 4 nights. They used to get married on Wednesday night for historical reasons. They would schedule the marriages before Thursday, because that could have been a dangerous time to get married, because there were oppressors of the Jewish people that had a very terrible edict to take the new brides before they would get married, so they moved up the wedding date to Wednesday. So Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, and Motzai Shabbos, Saturday night, you would be exempted theoretically from Kriyat Shema. Now the Rambam says, since Kriyat Shema is really two sides of the same coin, it's really one mitzvah, Kriyat Shema in the evening and then again in the morning, so once you're exempted from the evening, you're exempt from the morning as well. But the Ravid and others disagree. They say, no, since people would only really be together, be intimate at night, as opposed to in the morning, the exemption from Kriyat Shema only applies at night. So let's put that onto the record, and then we'll deal with the second half of the Mishnah. So the Mishnah again says, a chasan, somebody who's just getting married, patur mi Kriyat Shema b'layla harishon, on the first night, up until 4 nights, ad motzei Shabbos, im lo asa maisa. Again, after that 4th night, so we assume that there's no longer that sense of preoccupation, of worry, of concern, because he's already gotten used to being married. Of course, they should consummate the marriage as soon as possible, but even if he's not able to consummate the marriage, let's say for technical reasons or halachic reasons or whatever it is, there's no longer that sense of intense preoccupation, according to the rabbis, after 4 nights. Maisa Baragam Liel Shakara Balaila Harishon Shanasa. So Baragam Liel actually recited on the night that he got married. He was already, a well-established rabbinic figure, but he said Kriyat Shema that night. So his students are very perplexed. Amru lo talmidav loli matanu rabbeinu, our great teacher, did you not yourself teach us shechasan pater mi Kriyat Shema b'layla harishon, that on the night of your wedding, you don't have to recite Kriyat Shema? We'll talk about, in practical terms, how this is handled, because practical halacha is a little bit different than you get from this Mishnah. That'll come up later in the week, or at least on Sunday, the way the schedule is playing out. So Amar Lahem, Sir Gamliel didn't deny it. He said, yes, that's the standard halacha. Eini shomei alachem levatel mimenu malchus shamayim afilu sha'achas. I'm not willing to listen to you guys. Of course, you're right that would be the letter of the law, that I'm exempted from a recitation of Kriyat Shema tonight and tomorrow night, the night after that, and even the 4th night. But I will not listen to you, levatel mimeni kabbalos ol malchus shamayim, to take away the privilege of reaccepting the sovereignty of heaven for even 1 night. So the Kahati quotes a beautiful explanation of this mission in the name of Reb Chaim Valashin. Or the Reb Chaim Valashin said, the way the halacha works is normally as follows. You have a person who's very, very preoccupied. Again, he's totally focused on consummating the marriage and beginning the mitzvah of building a family. So to require this person to shift mental gears and to begin to focus on the theoretical and abstract concepts of the sovereignty of heaven and the obligation in mitzvos and remembering to perform those mitzvahs, the three paragraphs of Shema, so that the halacha doesn't require for a person to shift mental gears. But let's say a person is already there. So Rav Gamliel's mentality was he was so immersed in his spirituality that for him, it was actually painful, the opposite direction, for him to distract himself from Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim. So to take that away, that's what he means to communicate to his students. Eini shomei lachem levatel imenu Malchus Shamayim afilu sha'acha. So in his case, since it wouldn't really require shifting gears from the mitzvah that he's in, because this was his mindset at all times. You know, you have people who think about something all the time. You ever meet somebody, you know, who just so into the stock market. You know, the market's closed. They don't know what to do with themselves. So they turn on the TV and they go to the analysis of what happened that day in the markets. And the markets reopen in Asia and they're, you know, feeling good again. And, you know, they're able to fill the day that way. So Rav Gamliel was that way in terms of Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim. It was always on his mind. So it didn't require him to shift gears. So he was able to accept it upon himself. Now, in general, whether we would allow just anybody to, you know, do this, and for a person to say that they were on Rav Gamliel's level and to not recite or to not take this exemption to heart and to continue to recite Kriyat Shema even on the night of the wedding and the subsequent night. So that's discussed three Mishnayos from now. That's certainly something that is not a simple matter, because that could involve something that we call Yohara. That could involve sort of projecting a sense of religious arrogance. Like, oh, I'm, you know, in such a place that I don't even, you know, even getting married doesn't distract me from my focus on God's sovereignty, Kabbalas al Malchus Shamayim. So that already could be touching on a little bit of something that is concerning to us as a spiritual paradigm, somebody who thinks of themselves in those terms, a little concerning. So that's a problem that we call Yohara. But anyway, that's what Rav Gamliel was saying. So this reminds us of a very important Gemara in the very end of Masechta Brachos and Daf Samach Gimel, where the Gemara says a person who accepted the sovereignty of heaven, Kara Kriyat Shema Shachris V'Arvis, his entire life, and just one night he misses Kriyat Shema. So the Gemara says about that, it's almost like a harsh line in the Gemara, but the Gemara says it's ki'ilu lokara kriyat shema meyamav. It says if they never really were mekabel ol malchus shemayim, because if you truly accept the sovereignty of heaven, if you really, really buy into the sovereignty of heaven, that means you're like totally committed and you're in. And to even miss a night from that point on, that calls into question whether you ever really made that full commitment. Sometimes there are certain things in life which are so fundamental to a person, like breathing, you know. So a person you can't take a day off from breathing. If a person takes off a day off from breathing, that's not a good thing. So that's really the idea here, is that you can't take a day off from Kriyat Shema. So Rav Gamliel was projecting that, and he's saying, "Eini shomei lachem levatel imenu kabbalas ol malchus shamayim afilu sha'achas." I can't give it up, because not just what it means for one night, but what it means in general, because kabbalas ol malchus shamayim is kind of like an existential state. And a person perceives of themselves to be not a free agent, not just an autonomous entity in this world, but to be, as we call it, an Eved Hashem, a servant of God. So that's a way of life, and that's not just an isolated mitzvah. And presumably that's what Rav Gamliel was trying to communicate to his students. Yes, technically I'm exempted from the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema because I am just getting married, and b'shivtecha v'beisecha v'lechtecha v'derech. But in a deeper sense, I simply cannot abide, tolerate the sense that I won't be mekabel ol malchus shamayim, that goes against my very state of being. And for somebody of Rav Gamliel's level, indeed the halacha would be responsive to that. Whether we could make a general paradigm on that basis, so we'll get to that three Mishnayos from now.